Hey, Ryan, you ever have one of those days when you just feel like you're the only two people in the room?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we're having one of those days today, aren't we? Hey guys, welcome to the Left 4 Ted podcast.
Yo.
It's just me and Ryan. So
it's almost like an L4T special, but it's like a real podcast.
Yeah, it's the real podcast. We were trying to get a hold of people. Mitch had something that he had to do. Nick has lost his phone or something. I'm not sure why.
Damn epidemic of the responsibilities.
Probably. We can't shake the responsibilities. No amount of penicillin will work. At all. Alright, so, I guess we should get into this. Ryan and I were just actually talking about how we were kind of, like, dreading today anyway because there was nothing going on. And
until all of a sudden, there was.
Yeah, then there was shit going on. And, yeah, it's been a fun-filled week. We're actually going to skip a couple of segments today because there's nobody here. So
the people who run them, like,
yeah.
What's your favorite RPG, Ted? Go.
Actually, I think we had a playing favorites, but there's not even enough people here for that. It was favorite sequel that never was.
Chrono Break.
Okay.
The supposed sequel to Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross. Fans noted that Square, I think it was back when they were Squaresoft still. It was always Japanese Square, right? Squaresoft was America?
Yeah.
But they registered a trademark for Chrono Break after, you know, back when Chrono Cross was, like, fucking huge and, like, the only game that compared to it was Final Fantasy IX, which was there, so it was when they were on top. And so everyone was like, oh man, we can't wait for this. And then it just fizzled up and they ported Chrono Trigger like three more times and that was all we've heard of it.
Yeah, so normal Japanese hubbub.
Yep. Then fans put out a fan sequel that they put a cease or desist on, but it still made its way out there. Don't ask me how I know that.
He says as he strokes his beard maliciously. Yeah.
Anyway.
So,
do you have one?
Actually, I was going to go on the movie side of it.
Okay.
And I was going...
Well, you do run the movie Rama, and I run the gaming corner, so it fits.
Yeah. I was going to go with Space Jam 2. No. I was actually going to go with one of my favorite Mel Brooks movies, because I thought he could actually... I know the joke was that there was no sequel to it, and that they hinted that there was a sequel, but History of the World, Part 2, probably the top one up there. There's so much that he could do now with it.
Okay.
And I know Kylie's is anything Golden Compass.
Oh, yeah.
The planned sequels for Golden Compass that never were.
See, this is newer, and it's also not a bridge I would die on, but I would kind of say there are a number of not Twilight projects that I thought were guilty pleasure, but better put together than some of the earlier Twilight movies.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go into the stereotypical, oh, screw Twilight for Twilight's sake, but like the first two movies in particular were not good. And... I don't know if they were ever planning a sequel. I don't even know if it was based on a book. It just kind of felt like it. But The Covenant, which was, like, charmed with dudes.
Yes, it is based on a book.
Okay, well, I kind of wanted a part two of that, and it's never going to happen.
Yeah. What was the other one? I Am Number Four is never going to happen, even though it has this cult following right now.
Oh, was the sequel going to be six or eight, or I forget who the
I
main
don't remember.
Book. Like, that's one where I actually thought about, like, maybe I'll just get the book at some point, because I Am Number Four is another one where it's not, like, amazing, but I enjoyed it, and I would have gone to see a sequel.
Yeah. There are a lot of movies, you know, we're probably never going
to... I'll throw it out there, even though I know I'm completely alone as the only person who saw it. But, Beautiful Creatures.
You know, it keeps on...
It's not going to get a sequel.
It keeps on popping up on my Xfinity, like, what to watch.
I actually Redboxed it because Casey liked it. So yeah. He was like, ooh, Red Beautiful Creatures. And I just looked at him for a minute. Because what five-year-old, like, even as someone who more or less enjoyed the film, I'm just sitting there staring at my five-year-old like, really? But okay. I mean, you know, if I go and look at my when I was five or six VHS collection, there's some fantastic, not that great, you know, fantasy films. Oh,
let's be honest. In my collection right now, I have some fantasy films that never, like, fantasy films that only you and I even fucking know of or care about.
And we're not talking cliche, you know, cliche from the 80s stuff. We're not talking about The Dark Crystal. We're not talking about Legend.
No, we're talking about Return to Oz.
Well, hold on. That's legit quality.
But maybe nobody, like, before Kylie and I started living together, she didn't even know that fucking movie existed. And it's Disney. And she knows everything Disney.
Right, apparently it's one of those things, too, where if your nostalgia isn't carrying it, apparently that movie what has bad special effects, I'm told.
Yeah.
I can't see it because my imagination takes over the minute the movie starts.
One of my favorite bad movies of all time would be Super Mario Brothers. The worst.
I don't know if I can follow you on that journey.
Worst video game adaptation ever.
No, Double Dragon.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mario's up there for being enjoyably funny, even if horrible.
Yeah.
It's a firm competitor with Street Fighter.
Yeah.
As in watchable for all the wrong reasons. Double Dragon is just bad.
Fair enough.
Like, it's not even funny. You're just sitting there like, oh my god.
I'm just thinking about what else I have over there, because I do have Legend over there.
Nice.
I do have Dark Crystal.
Oh yeah, weren't you watching that recently? And all the people who weren't, you know, 80s familiar with it were like, what are we watching?
Dude, I wasn't 80s familiar with it. Like, that was not a movie that I grew up on. I was just told by everyone and their mother that I had to own this movie. So I'm just like, okay, well, if I have to own it, and I sit there going, Tim Curry is the fucking devil.
Yes.
Okay, that's just enough for me right there.
Yes.
And then people are just like, I want a story. I'm just like, Tim Curry's the fucking devil.
There's a story. It's not told through scripting. It's a very esoteric film.
Yes, thank you.
You kind of feel like you're high and you don't really know why things are happening.
Because we need existentialism in our films. Esoteric existentialism.
If you want a more direct, big evil demon lord kidnap dude's girlfriend and then there's a quest, you watch yourself some motherfucking Krull.
Speaking of 90s and 80s movies that have Tim Curry in them as the bad guy. I recently watched Epic and realized that Epic is just Fergalee Zero. It's Fergalee Zero. Like, seriously, that is what happened. That's what created Fergalee.
And it's almost like to all the people who watched Avatar and said, oh, they ripped off Fergalee. It's almost like they said, challenge accepted.
Yeah, almost. They're just like, this is the prequel to Fergalee.
You know what Avatar didn't do? It didn't shrink the main character.
Yeah. No, it grew him.
And the bad guys weren't just polluting the forest for no reason.
Yeah, they were trying to get unobtainium. Which, one thing that I don't understand is everyone rips Avatar, like, for... It's Dances with Wolves in Space. It's Fergalee. It's Pocahontas. And why doesn't anyone go, they're mining something called unobtainium?
That is the most generic of... space metal name.
Seriously. It's just like...
I'm pretty sure that word is in the dictionary, literally meaning generic fantasy space metal name if you're too lazy to come up with another name.
It was just like, unobtainium. What?
Yeah. James Cameron literally was like, fuck it.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, later on, you're going to see, this is the metal that was used to create the T-1000.
It wasn't Ferngully, though. It was totally The Last Samurai fused with Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, pretty much.
In space.
The only thing that was Ferngully about it is they all...
The warrior takes this faraway contract to start over and goes total native. That's The Last Samurai.
Yep.
In the end, leads his people against a technologically advanced... To make a stand and send a message. The only difference is he actually wins, whereas everybody just gets gatlinged at the end of Last Samurai.
Yeah, it was totally Return of the Jedi. I got it.
So what we're saying is none of these stories are original to begin with. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. This one, you know, the Ewoks were 7 foot tall this time. And
Ewokies.
Yeah, exactly. We got off topic there.
Yeah, we were talking about sequels that never were and movies and such.
So I think since we're going through this kind of fast right now, I think we got this, and we like to say goodbye to some people who have passed on, but left us a legacy in film or video games or TV, what have you. This is So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. Ah, sad, sad, sad week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only like 2 deaths. And the other guy I'm not even going to mention because he was only popular on Vine, and I don't have any of my Viners here to even tell me who the fuck he is. But, let's talk about Egon a little bit. We have the other Ryan Jennings, I think, actually broke down in tears.
When, I believe it.
Yeah.
I was concerned for Vinny, too.
Yeah. For those who don't want to go back a couple of episodes, I say a couple, that's like 30 now. Our friends, Ryan and Vinny, or Jennings and Vinny, are part of something called the Connecticut Ghostbusters. It's these guys that basically created a club around the Ghostbusters movies. They have their own, packs or whatever. And I know Ryan's going to listen to this and like, they're called something else. They have their packs, they have their suits, they have their car. They go to different fairs and things, and parades. Last time I saw them dressed up, they were over at the Boston St. Patrick's Day Parade about a year ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Went up there to see them there. And... it's very sad because Harold Ramis, who played Egon, passed away. Not in a very unheroic way, I should say. He had something called, autoimmune vascularitis. Am I saying that right, Ryan?
I don't know.
I can't even. Not in the. It's basically an autoimmune disease. Attacks your veins more than anything, and it shuts down your veins. 2010, he lost the power to walk on his own, and had to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
He regained the power to walk in 2011 and then relapsed again at the end of 2011. And it kind of just
went... No, I didn't actually know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the thing is, everyone knows him as Egon. But he also, one of my two favorite movies, Analyze This and Analyze That. He was the director and writer on both of those movies.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Why didn't I know that? Okay.
Analyze This and Analyze That with Billy Crystal and Robert De Niro. He wrote and directed both those movies. He was in so many movies. He did a guest appearance in one of our first Left 4 Dead movie clubs, Airheads. He played Chris Moore from A&M Records, who was actually a plant from the police. He was in that movie. Stripes, of course, with Bill Murray. Did a whole bunch of stuff with Bill Murray. Storied career. I put up a quote. Yeah. I'll put it up on the blog about what he said about acting. It was actually when he was, or not acting, but like directing, and what was funny. So I'll put that up on the blog. I can't remember it off the top of my head, and I don't want to go through Facebook and look for it because it was days ago. And yeah. I've posted a lot since then. But very, very storied career. I want to say Big Bucket of Win or Cauldron of Win, but that would be stealing from another podcast. I feel that, that probably deserves, we have the Hall of Shame that we started this year. I think we need to do inductees into the Hall of Fame when we do the Left 4 Dead Awards. And I think he's competitor for the Hall of Fame for this year.
I'd second that.
Yeah.
And there's no one else here, so by unanimous vote.
Yep. So, let's say Harold Ramis is our first inductee into the Hall of Fame. And we'll make up a little Left 4 Dead Hall of Fame thing. I'll get Mitch right on that. Using his Photoshop skills. So
he gets volunteered because he's not here to say no.
Exactly. Or if anyone wants to do some graphic design for us and make like a Hall of Fame thing with Harold Ramis' face on it, we will not say no. We will also not pay you.
We are all for charity work.
Exactly. So the other person that died is Nick Spears. I don't think he's related to Britney, but who knows? He is an American actor, comedian, and Vine personality, which means at some point I'm sure I've seen him, but I just don't really remember who the hell he is. So, that's up.
He will be missed by those who know who he is.
Yep. I'm sure Vine will... And it sucks, too, because he's 35 and he died of a heart attack.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. But especially for big guys like us. I'm assuming that this guy was a big guy.
Yeah, probably.
All right. So, let's just... We don't have a what if. Let's just move into the movie-rama. I really wanted to find this clip online, but nobody had it. It was Hulk Hogan on Monday Night Raw this last Monday, and he said that the WWE Network was going to immoralize wrestling in ways we never thought possible. And I think he meant immoralize, but immoralize works too.
Okay.
But I wanted to play that for the movie-rama. Just really, the movie-rama, it'll immoralize movies in... Which is, no.
It just reminds me of that old Bush versus Gore debate from Saturday Night Live. Governor Bush, in a recent interview, you said, quote, "All too often, the exquisite sex and wholesome violence in films underscores our values. Every two child did, I will." End quote. What did you mean by that? To which he replied, pass. And then Gore, well, you know, man playing Gore, steps in and says, I believe what my opponent intended to say is that all too often the explicit sex and wholesale violence in films undermines our values. Bingo, that was it.
Bingo. All right. So let's get into this. Netflix has caved to bullying and has paid Comcast a sum of money so their streaming service will not get slowed down on Comcast-owned internet. In other words, NBC now owns Netflix the way that a school bully owns your lunch. Oh, it also says that Comcast also got Netflix's lunch money here. apparently, the word homo was written on Netflix's forehead. Okay. So,
it was dumped in a toilet.
Yeah, it got a swirly. Cigarette burns were a little bit much, but... Alright, so... in a no-shit moment, passing of Harold Ramis, people are just like, well, it looks like Ghostbusters 3 has to be rewritten. Yeah. No shit.
You mean... you mean to tell me Egon's not going to be in the movie?
Egon will not be in the movie.
How dare they?
Which, the way movies have been going, I really wanted to see that sex scene between Egon and, shit, what's her name? What's the secretary's name? Played by Annie Potts. I can't remember her name. I just remember she was played by Annie Potts. Which makes the next part of this actually funnier.
It's been so long since I've watched anything Ghostbusters related.
Janine.
Yes.
Yep. She didn't have a last name in the first one. I think she had a last name in the second one.
Yeah.
Which, so Ryan, maybe this will prove me wrong. I was going to say that you and I were the only one that knew the name of the Black Ghostbuster. Do you know the name of the Black Ghostbuster? Are you still there? Ryan.
Winston
what?
Zedmore.
There you go. Did you look it up?
No.
Okay.
I searched my own memory banks.
That's why I was so quiet.
No, I was trying to remember. Did Janine in the movie have a thing with Rick Moranis?
In the second one.
And in the cartoon, she was like had a crush on Egon, right?
In the first movie, she had a crush on Egon. Which carried into the cartoon. Which was really funny because... here's a little Ghostbusters trivia. So, Dave Coulier, you know Dave Coulier, right?
From Full
House?
Yeah.
He played the original Peter Venkman in the Real Ghostbusters cartoon. And he also played Garfield in the Garfield cartoon.
I see where this is going.
Both characters in movies played by Bill Murray.
Because basically what you're telling me is that Dave Coulier does an awesome Bill Murray or vice versa?
Exactly. Something like that. But yeah, here's my little plea to Ghostbusters 3 producers, writers.
Just stop.
Yeah, just stop.
Just respectfully stop.
There's no need to have Ghostbusters 3. We had two great movies.
We don't need a reboot. We don't need a sequel.
I mean, we had two great movies, and we had a pretty decent video game storyline as well that tied both movies together.
They've been meandering so long that pretty soon the only feasible plot will be a new cast of Ghostbusters hunting the old cast.
Exactly. I mean, that's all we have left. The only thing that they could do, and now they can't do it anymore, but was to make the video game into a movie. Ryan, I don't know if you played the video game.
I actually never did.
You could probably find it for like $5.
I heard mixed things. But to be fair, I think a lot of the negativity came from Dave.
Okay.
So, maybe I should try it.
It's very clunky. There's a lot of hand-holding.
He said it was... What I heard from him on the negative side was that it's good for the storyline, but bad as a game.
Yeah, kind of. That's the way I feel.
Okay.
It is very... It's awesome for the storyline. The game is kind of clunky, and you don't know what the hell you're doing. It freezes in spots that it shouldn't be freezing in.
What system was it on?
360.
Because it sounds kind of like a PS2 game.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. It was like, besides...
Was it one of those development hell things where it just transferred to 360 because that's what the era was, but it started development on the previous gen?
I have no idea. But, I mean, for the story mode, not story mode, but for the story of the whole thing, it was really well done. All of the cutscenes were really well done. So, I don't know if that's what it was, or if it was just, it was a new developer that was just like, we can make a game, and just got this awesome story, and didn't know what the hell to do with it.
It sounds like Final Fantasy VII, Dirge of Cerberus.
Yeah.
These cutscenes are amazing. Oh my god, what am I doing?
Yeah. But yeah, the story, it actually ties in Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2 in a way that I never thought possible. All the characters, it's very well done. I don't want to give away too much.
Alright, let's move on.
So this next story, I'm really sad that Nick's not here, because I actually wrote the joke in here for him.
But,
yeah. So Matt
Ryan, listen to the podcast, maybe.
Maybe. Matt Ryan will be playing Constantine. Constantine on the NBC show, or the pilot that NBC has out right now, called Constantine, which I'm not sure why they just don't call it Hellblazer, but whatever. Yeah, that's right. Matty Ice from the Atlanta Falcons. Oh wait, no, that's it's a Welsh guy named Matt Ryan, who's done a whole bunch of other stuff.
Would he also presumably be in the Justice League Dark film?
I'm not sure. Seeing that producers are rarely keen on putting Steve Amell into Justice League as a cameo. Or that's the rumor right now. Is that Stephen Amell's been talking to WB about appearing as a cameo, not like interrupting the story or even being part of the Justice League, but just that his universe is shared with the Justice League, even though they don't care about Starling City.
I do think it's interesting, and I guess Marvel kudos for doing this first, but there's been a stigma, I feel like, in the past about using your TV properties and your movie properties together.
Yeah.
You know, never bringing over the same actors or anything like that. And now it's just kind of like, no, here, we're going to put Sam Jackson in a cameo on this TV show. Yeah, playing his movie guy.
Actually, let's go into that news right now, because I didn't write it down, but it just came out today, that we will get our first look at Avengers Age of Ultron in about a month. On ABC, they're going to have a special about how Marvel was the first comic book company to say, hey, we can tell these, 2-hour stories, and then tell another, 1-hour story, and put it all together in the same universe, and create this Marvel universe that expands, exponentially throughout TV and throughout movies. And they're going to show.
So it's just going to be like a 1-hour special?
Yeah, it's going to be a 1-hour special on ABC about Marvel. Because, Disney can do that. Speaking of Marvel, though, remember when we were talking about the Netflix stuff? Another thing that I didn't write down here is that Daredevil, Power Man, or Luke Cage, depending on what they're going with, Iron Fist, and the Jessica Jones series are all going to be starting production in the next 2 to 3 months, different times, all in New York.
Cool.
So,
to give it some like scenery continuity.
Exactly, because you know you got Daredevil, who's from Hell's Kitchen. Power Man is from Brooklyn, or is he from the Bronx? Can't remember.
Is that a question?
Yeah, that's a question.
I don't know.
I know. What do you call it? It's from the Bronx. Iron Fist is from the Bronx. So.
Right.
Jessica is from LA, but. Whatever.
She moves out this way.
Yep. So let's move on to the controversial Marvel news. It has been confirmed that Michael B. Jordan will be playing Johnny Storm.
No relation.
Yeah, that's the other thing. There's three thoughts on this right now. Is that he will be playing the adopted brother of Sue Storm, who's been confirmed as being played by Kate Mara, who is a white lady with blue eyes. So adopted brother.
I like her as an actress.
No, I'm not saying she's a bad actress. I'm saying that they could have gone with a better, better racially mixed Sue Storm, maybe? I'm not saying give it to whatever her name, Wallace, from last year's Beasts of the Southern Wild. I'm just saying.
I have no idea what your reference you're making, but.
The little 8-year-old girl from Koala Wallace.
I think that'd be a little young.
I know, I'm joking.
Putting the girl back in Invisible Girl?
Yeah, well, no, but I'm just saying, if you're going to have this actor, this, you know, an actor like Michael B. Jordan, who's a very good actor, is very good at improving what he's doing to get what he needs to get done acting-wise, you know, all right, so you have that basis, why not have Sue Storm be black? I mean, is it that far of a stretch?
You're saying instead of them being adopted?
Instead of him being adopted. Or the other one is that they're not related at all. They just have the same last name. And they work together.
Which would be retarded.
Which would be retarded. But not as retarded as option three.
They're married!
Married couple! Which made my head explode. And very hard to glue back the pieces of my head after that one.
Sue likes the dark meat that belongs to her alternate universe brother.
Yeah. Which, if that happens, I'm just going to throw up.
I'm pretty sure I would boycott for that. And I'm not usually one of those angry butter boycotting fanboys.
Yeah, I wouldn't boycott, I would just throw up. It's not boycotting. I'd watch it eventually. I'd just throw up. Constantly.
My problem with it, I suppose, is that the whole thing just smacks of the race card. I'm going to preface with saying I like Michael B. Jordan a lot. I was actually upset at like how early he got killed off in whatchacallit?
Yeah. Chronicle? Yeah.
Yeah. Like the trailers made it seem like he'd be there towards the end, and then just like boom, I'm like, I don't think he's getting up.
Yeah.
Shit. But yeah, I think he's a good actor, and I could see him in the role. It just, I think there's a way to go about, like, I don't know if this is the case, like, I don't know the behind the scenes, but I felt like with Daredevil, they auditioned different people, and the man who did the best audition for the essence of the role got the part, and then as far as race went, they were just like, fuck it, shut up.
Yeah.
And this kind of feels like they were like, what would be shocking?
Yeah, I mean,
like, there were rumors going around they were auditioning for an African-American Johnny Storm. Like, they were just like, well, let's just make him black.
Yeah, but
ooh, people will talk. Like, I don't know, it just seems like the wrong reason to do it. If you just want to say Michael B. Jordan was the best man for the role and we will work our script around it, I'm totally behind that.
Yeah. But like I said, I have no problem with Michael B. Jordan being Johnny Storm. I think he'll make an excellent Johnny Storm. It's just the story around it seems a little loopy when you say, oh, Kate Mara is going to play Sue Storm.
I mean, I guess of those, the one I'm hoping for is the adopted, because that's basically, you kind of keep close to on track there. You're just like, it's just your hand wave. You know, we wanted this guy to be Johnny Storm. We didn't want to change the rest of the mechanics, so we just said he's adopted.
Yeah, that would work.
Because it's either that or somebody's parent cheated.
Yeah. Or, you know, he's half black. He's the Ryan of the group, if you will.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a second marriage somewhere in there.
Exactly. Like, Sue Storm's dad died, and that's what, you know, that's why she likes older men. I don't know.
Oh, God. Then as for the other two members of the cast, don't know them.
Yeah, and they haven't been confirmed yet. That's just,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's the Hollywood Reporter rumor right now, that they're the number one choice.
Oh, I gotcha.
Though for a while there, they were saying that Josh Gad was going to be the number one choice for The Thing. And, well, we all know how much Josh Gad loves summer. but summer blockbusters, I'm not too sure.
Is he ever 11?
He does like warm hugs.
Okay. Will he have a musical number?
Oh my God. For me, it's so hard to rhyme, but I'll tell you now, it's clobbering time.
moving on.
Yeah. God, I can't believe I
believe we've lost our only listeners now.
Yeah. All right, so second to last bit of news. Heroes is returning.
Amongst other shows, by the way.
Other shows? I didn't hear about other shows. I know Heroes is returning.
Slightly older news is that 24 is probably returning.
Oh, 24 is returning as a movie.
I thought there was a miniseries coming behind it, too.
There might be a miniseries coming behind it. I think we were talking about that a while back.
We may have talked about that circa the Super Bowl, yeah. The other one is that one of the writers behind Farscape.
Oh, yeah, the Farscape movie.
Yeah, shopping around a mini-series movie. I think the impression I got was kind of like Peacekeeper Wars was. It'd be something that would play over, like, two or three nights.
Yeah.
And there's rumors that the goal would be to gauge the waters for a possible sequel series. Which sci-fi has been known to do before, so it would depend on ratings if they pick it up. Right now it's in the very early stages, so it's definitely not confirmed, but...
Yeah. All right, so my last bit of news I have to talk about because I brought it up earlier. Space Jam 2 was confirmed and then denied.
It was denied?
Yeah. We're not going to get Space Jam 2 with LeBron James.
There is some justice in the world.
Yeah. Basically, somebody created this whole thing, kind of like Jimmy Kimmel with the whole wolf in the the Sochi Olympics or whatever that he did.
Yeah.
So somebody created a whole big Twitter war and said that they were working for WB and that they were getting LeBron James for Space Jam 2. Now, LeBron James and his publicists and everyone were just like, no, LeBron would never do Space Jam 2. Space Jam 2 isn't even in the works right now. And Warner Brothers has said nothing. Absolutely nothing. So Space Jam 2 could be in the works. And they were looking at LeBron, but now they're probably not.
because he threw him under the bus?
Exactly. So, and it could just be, you know, Hollywood hype, like they're known to do. Or it could just be, you know, whoever brought it up was just like, yeah, they're looking at LeBron James. And just to try to get LeBron James to be like, yeah, I'd love to do it, or something like that. You know how Hollywood politics works.
Yeah.
So, I don't... You know what? I forgot to put releases up there, by the way. And I realized
have the game releases.
Yeah, but you don't have the movie releases.
I do not have the movie releases.
Yeah.
That's not my area, Ted.
I know, but I have the movie releases.
Okay, then.
I just have to get to them.
uh,
Oh, you know what? Before we do that...
The Liam Neeson on an airplane movie is one of them.
No, I know, but before we actually do that, we forgot the main thing about movies this weekend. The big one. The biggest award ceremony ever in movie history. Happening this Sunday.
Oh, is it this Sunday already?
It is this Sunday. So...
Oscars,
yes. The Academy Awards. The Little Bald Guy.
Which I need to watch because the lovely Idina Menzel is going to be performing Let It Go live.
Because that's nominated. Let's see. I'm just going to go quickly through what I think may win. I'll name off some nominees for Best Picture. We're just going to do Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Song, Best Animated. Okay, right?
Okay.
So Best Picture, we have American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. So, right off the bat, I'm going to say The Wolf of Wall Street is definitely not going to win.
Not going to win Best Picture, It did clean up at some of the other award shows, though. Well, I don't know if clean up's the right word, but it did well for itself at some of the other award stuff.
I mean, any movie that says the F word more than we do, shit.
Not going to win, not going to take home the gold, no.
Her's not going to take
home... You know me, I'm Team Gravity.
I'm going to go with...
I feel like 12 Years a Slave might take it, though.
I think Dallas Buyers Club or 12 Years a Slave. I think it's going to be one of those two.
Gravity probably has other categories it could excel in, too.
Yeah. Gravity... well, you know what? Let's go into actress in a leading role. That's going to be Amy Adams, Kate Blanchett, Sandra Bullock, Judi Dench, and Meryl Streep. I'm going to go Sandy B all the way.
Me, right here. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Gravity is just her. That's all Gravity is.
Well, I mean, you know, supporting actor George Clooney, though, I wouldn't give him an Oscar for that because he was charming and did well, but that's just George Clooney.
Yeah. And... yeah, he's not even nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to say Sandra Bullock, because guess what? Leading lady, she led the entire movie. She led my entire audience when I went to see that in theaters. On the
breathing in sync with her. Like, nobody made me feel a movie the way Gravity did.
And I know I said this on the podcast before, after I saw the movie. But there's this one part in that movie where you got the flames going everywhere and everyone just like holding their breath waiting to see what happens. And there was a little old lady in the back of the theater that just went, "Oh my." And like,
then you play the beginning of Call of Duty Ghosts and you realize that Gravity did not have anywhere near enough South American militants.
Yeah. All right. So then let's go to Best Actor in a Leading Role. We got Christian Bale.
Hustle?
For American Hustle. Let's see, okay. Where's my sound effect for that one?
Well, good for him.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. All right. I will totally play that on next week's show if he wins.
If he wins.
Yeah. Bruce Dern for Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio for The Wolf, Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave.
I'm sure we said that wrong.
Do you remember when we went through like 20 minutes trying to figure out what the hell his name was?
That was for the awards, right? But I wasn't on that, so yeah. I listened to you guys go through that when I was listening to the cast.
My God. Thank you, Jimmy Kimmel, for saying it for us. And Matthew McConaughey. I really don't have any opinions on this.
Matthew McConaughey. What McConaughey have?
Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, yes, right, yes.
That's the only thing that I know about Matthew McConaughey is that Liza Minnelli said that if he doesn't win for Best Actor for Dallas Buyers Club, that she will give him her Oscar from 1972, for when she was when she did Cabaret, when Cabaret won. So if he is not the best actor of 2014, he will be the best actress of 1972. I could have gotten that mixed up. It might have been 78, but still.
See, I don't have a strong opinion here just because I didn't see any of these movies, actually. Yeah. I got a little confused with McConaughey because I know he's also in The Wolf of Wall Street. So I was like, wait.
I think, let me just check.
He's on TV right now, too, alongside Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, which I hear is the best series right now to watch.
It actually, I need to catch up. I randomly watched, they're like, I think 5 or 6 episodes in, and I randomly watched the most recent episode and was like, I should have been watching this. Yeah, so I've got to go back on HBO Go and catch up.
That's what I got to do, too. I haven't seen any of it. I'm just, like, I probably will start watching it after the podcast. Well, but, yeah, True Detective.
And every time the cops have him, you know, or like, grilling him in the present time, it takes place in, like, 2 different time periods. And every time you see him sitting down kind of getting grilled and giving, like, his little interview statement, I just kind of think of Frailty. I realize that I want a Frailty sequel.
Yeah. Oh, God. That'd be awesome.
Exactly.
Him teaching his son after his son was born all the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, that awkward moment where you realize this movie isn't about a serial killer. It's about a Hunter Supernatural style.
Yeah. Let's go into Best Animated Feature. Now, I've only seen 2 of these movies, and not from lack of trying. I bet you
I've seen all of them.
I think you've only seen 3 of them.
Well, hit me.
All right, so The Croods. I know you've seen The Croods.
I've seen The Croods.
Despicable Me 2. Pretty
I've
sure
seen
you saw
Despicable
that.
Despicable Me 2.
Ernest and Callistine.
You're right,
I have no idea what that is. At least I know what the last one is, but then we have Frozen.
Uh-huh.
So we both have seen that one. And then the final one is The Wind Rises, which I really want to see. I might actually go into your neck of the woods this weekend to see it on Saturday.
Did that have a limited release or something?
It had apparently there was a limited release last week. It actually came out last week. But it had this...
That applies for the Oscars?
Yeah.
What is the window then for the Oscars?
I thought the window was already closed, but you know what?
That's why I'm confused. I'm like, wait, I was just looking at that movie to go see with Casey this week. Like, how is that in last year's Oscar consideration?
Well, it did come out in Japan in November. So maybe
that's
it had...
That's probably the loophole.
Maybe it had a limited Japanese, like, with a subtitle release before it got this, you know, Disney remake with the English dub.
Yeah. Maybe they have to go by release date regardless of country.
Yeah. I know it has to be in at least 100 theaters between November 1st and I think January 31st or February something.
Is it Studio Ghibli?
Yeah, it's Studio Ghibli.
Okay, yeah, like I literally just heard about it this morning when I was looking to see what movies are coming out, and just going off of what Flixster showed me, I was like, that looks like Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, it's Hayao Miyazaki's last film. Which is probably why it is nominated.
It probably did get the exposure necessary, than the 100 theaters and all that.
Yeah.
Probably widely publicized.
Yep, so...
So, obviously we haven't seen that yet, because we haven't gotten the opportunity, but are hoping to.
I'm hoping to see it Saturday, if all goes as planned.
Yeah, tomorrow doesn't look good for it, so I'm probably going to go see it in Milford on Saturday.
Yep. Hey, maybe we can meet up... You can finally get your Christmas presents.
Oh. Have we really not hung out in, like, 2 months?
We really haven't, other than doing podcasts.
Right.
Like, and it's sad because I don't even see your picture right now. You're just looking at me as I'm talking, and all I'm seeing is a blank screen.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, the Vita is laying down, so all you would be seeing is my ceiling.
Okay. Well, it's probably the same thing I'm seeing. I just see white.
There you go.
And I'm just like, that's not Ryan. That's only half of Ryan.
That's not the ceiling. Ho, ho, ho. Anyway, moving on.
All right, so let's just do best original song. That's the ones that we really care about, right?
Yeah.
Original song. So we have Happy from Despicable Me 2. If you haven't heard that song, you've been living under a fucking rock.
Right.
It plays everywhere. Let It Go. If you haven't heard that song, you do not... You've never been on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
The Moon Song, which... I actually haven't heard that one.
Do you think next year Everything Is Awesome will be on the list?
I kind of hope not. Just because that's one of those songs where you're just like, yeah, that's a pretty catchy song. And then you realize it's like 6 fucking minutes long.
Yeah. And it works like, really well within the movie because it's only like 30 seconds at a time in the movie.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a movie I still haven't seen. I have to see that one too.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's something I will...
Oh, did you hear people referencing Everything Is Awesome, so you looked it up on YouTube and got hit with the full whammy?
Well, no. When I go to on Xbox or anything, it's just like, you should get the Lego Movie game, because it's awesome, in quotations. Everything about the Lego Movie game is awesome.
Oh, marketing.
Yeah. So I'm just like... And then I was just, like, looking up things, and just, like, everything is awesome from the Lego movie. I'm just like, let me listen to that. And it's 6 minutes long. And as much as I like Lonely Island, I don't like them enough to listen to Tegan and Sarah, or whatever their name is, Sarah and Tegan, or for that 6 minutes as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then there's Ordinary Love. I think that Let It Go is going to win. Just because it's Disney.
Yeah.
No one really gives a shit about you two.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
I'm totally Team Elsa.
Yeah. And Happy is just like... Yes, it's a song that actually makes you happy. But it is everywhere. You cannot escape it. And that movie has been on DVD for the last, 4 or 5 months?
Dude, I feel like that movie simultaneously released with its theatrical version on DVD.
It might have. I don't know, it was just like...
It is getting really weird with that stuff, too. Like, you go to see, like, oh, let's go watch, you know, Captain America the Winter Soldier. You come home, you go on Facebook to say what you think about it, and there's an advertisement, Walmart, pre-order Captain America the Winter Soldier, and you're like, it's Friday. I just saw the movie. How are you selling the DVD?
Dude, that happened with Iron Man 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, it happened with Avengers. Was
it
the
was
worst.
Iron Man 3, it did happen, yeah.
Avengers
they
was
were
the worst.
They were spamming Facebook with ads for it, like, on launch day.
Avengers was the worst, though. Avengers, I went and saw the midnight release.
Uh-huh.
I come home, and I go on Facebook to, like, say, you know, that was awesome, and, you know.
And Facebook's already like, take it home!
Yeah, and, like, I'm going down, and Walmart, Best Buy, and one other, like, retailer, they're just like, did you like the Avengers? You should, the pre-order of the DVD, pre-order, like, all this stuff, just like, just watch this damn movie!
It's actually kind of smart, because you come out of the movie and you're like, oh, it was pretty good. Maybe I'll go see it again. Oh, I could put in the pre-order. I bet you that sales number comes down a lot over 3 months where it's like, hey, Avengers is coming back. And you're like, well, you know, the movie had some flaws. what I mean?
But I already have my pre-order. Damn.
Like, if you talk to me coming out of the theater from The Phantom Menace, I was like, that movie was awesome! And if you ask me now about The Phantom Menace, I'm like... The last 10 minutes is pretty cool.
If you ask me, I remember when The Phantom Menace came out, and everyone was just like, that movie is awesome, and I was just like, it was alright, but what was up with Jar Jar Binks? And then, like, everyone turned to me and went, you didn't like Jar Jar Binks? And those same people now are just like, I fucking hate Jar Jar Binks. You should die. I'm just like, okay. All right,
poor
so,
Jar Jar.
Yeah. So, let's see. Speaking of Avengers, Thor came out on DVD and Blu-ray, along with Ryan's favorite movie, Gravity.
Yay!
as well as Nebraska. A movie that actually Mitch was telling me about called Mr. Nobody came out as well. And Bullet, which I'm not sure what Bullet is.
I know what a bullet is.
I know what a bullet is, too.
Okay.
It's something that you have to make out of silver to kill a werewolf.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, in Japan, it can mean something entirely different.
Really?
I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
It's a form of adult toy for ladies, equipped with a vibration function.
Oh, we call those rabbits here.
Right?
Alright, and in theaters, we have Nonstop, and
that's
Son of...
That's the one starring the incomparable Liam Neeson's.
Yep.
Star of Tooken and Tooken 2.
Yep. It's also the name of his sex diary. Which is also... The sequel to that is the name of the second movie that we have coming out in wide release, Son of God. But, no.
Okay. Is that the prequel to The Passion of the Christ?
I have no idea. Possibly. I'm not sure.
Okay.
In limited release, we have Odd Thomas, which I kind of want to see.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's about it. So that is it for my releases. Let's go into let's get into the gaming corner.
All right, gaming releases. Castlevania: Lords of Shadow 2, where you basically play as Dracula Belmont. Magus for the PS3. It's an action game. I don't know a whole lot about it though. Plants vs. Zombies: Garden Warfare. Or Garden Field, as my son calls it.
Garden Field?
Yes.
Wow, the 5-year-old made up a battlefield term, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I was impressed. That one basically looks like from what I can tell, it looks like a horde shooter a la Mass Effect 3, but with the Plants vs. Zombies. I don't know if characters is the right word.
Yeah.
But I will give impressions of it because my son is a humongous PVZ fan, so it might be baby's first first-person shooter. Or I think it's a third-person shooter.
Yeah. From the videos that I was watching today.
Oh, I hear his voice outside, actually.
Really?
So he and Grandma must be here. I'm going to put on a television and prepare to move towards the back of the house while we finish.
Okay.
But Tales of Symphonia Chronicles for the PlayStation 3, which includes Tales of Symphonia and its sequel, put together in like one big HD collection. Thief is out on everything.
Which Mitch actually has.
I hear mixed things, so I'd be interested to hear Mitch's thoughts.
Yeah, he hasn't really played it as of last night. Like, he played it a little bit, so he doesn't have an opinion just yet.
Okay. Hold on, I'm going to just pause for a moment.
Okay.
What'd you do?
And we're back.
Okay. Continuing with game releases, we have Divinity Original Sin for Windows, Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy for 3DS, and a game that really needed to come out again, Resident Evil 4 Ultimate HD Edition for Windows.
Okay.
Did that just straight up not have a Windows version before, or?
I guess it didn't.
Okay.
I get confused, though. I really get confused with some of that, because some of it is, like, Windows apps stuff.
I get the impression this is, like, PC.
Yeah. But, yeah, some of it's, like, the Windows App Store, and some of it's, like, other stuff, like... you know, just on PC. It's really weird.
Casey? Stop shouting. Stop shouting. Thank you. Children.
This moment brought to you by Casey.
Yeah, right? Casey's bowel elimination and privacy concerns. So moving into the news, which I have plenty. So thank God we don't have other people here
to
clog us up with their topics and conversations.
Casey should have been here for the movies. Then we could have had the movie poop shoot.
Oh, God. Anyway, in March, Club Nintendo is going to have a promotion that doesn't do anything for you and I.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this one.
Did you get sad?
A little bit, but then I was just like, but I've already beaten the game and wrote an essay about how that game reflects Nazism in 1942 France.
He is all whining about resources and master races. Yeah. And by master race, it's preppy French dudes with cash and bad fashion sense.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, I was kind of like, well, then I could download X, and then, like, when I buy Casey his 2DS, I could trade with myself. But yeah, basically the promotion is, if you register a 3DS, XL, or 2DS... No. Go finish getting dressed.
I wanted a 2DS.
I'll think about it.
Demanding little prick.
I feel like I have to pee. Okay, so... Right,
so now you have to whisper that every time you say it.
For those of you at home, I did the evil villain thing of muttering certain musings out loud in earshot of a child who was in a different room who just came bursting into the room declaring, wait a second, you're getting me a 2DS? Shh, no. So anyway, if you register a 2DS, 3DS, or XL, and one of a handful of games, including Mario Kart 7, Mario 3D Land, Animal Crossing New Leaf, Donkey Kong Country Returns, Lego City Undercover, The Chase Begins, or Yoshi's New Island, they will give you a free download code for a digital copy of Pokemon X or Y. A little depressing for guys like me and Ted. Like, I have a 3DS, I have a registered 3DS and XL, and I've bought Mario Kart 7 and Mario 3D Land.
And the phone is ringing.
Do you want to bring me the phone?
Wow, this has become the weirdest podcast.
Chaotic for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will give you that code. So yeah, it's nothing. Thank you, Casey.
I want to get an XL. So maybe if I get an XL and New Island. When New Island comes out?
Yeah.
And then I'll get, like, you know...
Was this about a 3DS Lego City Undercover game?
Yeah. That's been out for a while.
Moving on. Konami got tired of getting punched in the dick by fans and is dropping the price of disc versions of Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes to $30. Bringing it in line with basically all the versions, with the exception of you still get a $10 discount if you download the PS3 and Xbox 360 version. That's still $19.99. But all other versions, digital, next gen, and disc copies on both gens, is $30.
I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you brought it up.
You're welcome. For any Deus Ex fans out there, the mobile prequel to Deus Ex Human Revolution called Deus Ex The Fall is getting a Steam port at the end of next month. I'm kind of interested in playing that with, like, a regular controller.
Yeah.
I'm fine!
Casey, what are you doing? Casey? Call of Duty Elite is shutting down.
Really?
Say hi to Ted.
Hi, Ted.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, Ted.
How you doing?
Good.
He's waving back at you.
So yeah, so it's going bye-bye?
Yeah, basically.
I gotta leave you, Ted, because I gotta get dressed and do my homework.
Okay. You do that homework.
So clans are going away. Your stats are still trackable in Modern Warfare 3 and Blops 2. I don't know for a fact that this actually means much of anything unless you, like, you super love your clan. Because Call of Duty Ghosts, as I understand it, doesn't even use Elite. Like, it has its own app, the Call of Duty Ghosts app, that tracks your clans and stuff.
Yeah.
So they kind of, it seems to me that after Blops 2, they kind of fizzled out Elite anyway.
Yeah, Elite was kind of stupid anyway.
Yeah.
Can you help me on
that? It was for, like, the five-year-olds who play, and they're just like, I want to play with my other five-year-old friends. Yay!
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Oh, good job, Case. Speaking of things shutting down, Nintendo is discontinuing Wii and DS online support with a handful of exceptions. Like, you can still hit the DSiWare and WiiWare shops because they want your money. Mm-hmm. You can still get on Netflix on a Wii.
But you can't get on Hulu?
Well, that's because Wii never supported Hulu.
Yeah, I did.
Did it? When did that happen?
It supports Hulu.
That must be terrible.
It is.
Okay. I can't imagine Hulu on a Wii.
Do you know how long...
I should put my Wii back into my bedroom so I can Netflix in my bedroom. Yeah. It's a free app, so it's not like the fact that I did my account transfer should matter.
Yep.
I even still have the disc. I could just put the disc in.
God, I remember the disc.
The Wii disc for Netflix. It was so ridiculous.
You know what was really funny? You know what disc also worked for? You could put in the...
What? Casey!
Whoa.
Casey, I'm doing news. I'm not talking about our Wii. Daddy's trying to run a podcast. Just the family showed up, and now no one will shut up. First world problems.
Oh, you know what?
Anyway, so there's some crazy batshit investor at Nintendo, or not at Nintendo, but a Nintendo investor.
Yeah.
Who wants Nintendo to start putting out smartphone games, which I think we hear probably about once a week these days.
Yeah.
They want them to put in crazy IAP. They think that that would be super profitable for them. Just think of paying 99 cents just to get Mario to jump a little higher, he said. How about no?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Quote, the same people who spend hours playing Mario, Donkey Kong, and Legend of Zelda as children are now a demographic whose engagement on the smartphone is valued by the market at well over $100 billion.
I can believe that. But guess what?
I don't support anything he said.
I can believe... I don't want to, like, pay a dollar for, you know, Mario to get a fucking flower for 20 seconds in a game. Because I'm an idiot.
Right.
Pay 50 cents and you get the big mushroom. And that lasts for 10 seconds. Cool. Alright. I just paid a dollar for 10 seconds. You know, if I...
Oh, in slightly random news for today.
Yes?
Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah?
The original... The first game, it's not the first game in the series if you count the Megami Tensei series where it began on NES or Famicom, but the first Super Nintendo, Shin Megami Tensei, never came out over here. Neither did its sequel. Yeah. There have been fan translation patches from the Eon Genesis ROM hacking group. It came out on iOS like a couple years ago, but Japanese only, but you could buy it in the American store.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a full translation and coming out next month.
On iOS?
Which is random and kind of awesome, yeah. It's an $8 purchase, no in-app purchases, supposedly, that we've heard of yet. The first official translation of this ancient classic Super Nintendo RPG. Casey, excuse me, Daddy, doesn't mean you can cut me off.
Thank you. I will look at it, and I will discuss your folder after I'm done with the podcast.
Okay.
We are invited to attend a birthday party for Dr. Seuss Monday, March 3rd, 1:30 to 2:30 p.m.
Okay, then.
Okay, now my homework.
Do they know that there's supposed to be snow that day?
Apparently not.
Okay.
I don't like snow.
They do not know about the snow.
I don't like snow days either, Casey. I'm currently trying to rearrange my schedule around it.
Okay.
They do not know about the snow. They do not know. Ho, 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 ho.
That one is easy. Matching the one.
All right, get to it. All right, so Shimigami Tensei, awesome news. Now continuing our ongoing coverage in the Candygate scandal.
Oh, God.
Candy Crush developer King has withdrawn its application for the trademark of the word candy in the United States, though its trademark still stands in the in European markets. They've seen a whole lot of opposition to the fact that they are being straight up predatory, even though they initially said, we're not going to go after people, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What's weird about it is that there has been infighting in the industry because 2 years before Candy Crush came out, there was a game called Candy Swipe.
Mm-hmm.
Same game. And so they actually have a trademark for their game's title, and they attempted to oppose King's trademark. So King went back and managed to get a trademark on a game called Candy Crusher that came out in 2004. There was like a retroactive trademark they just got, and then they are now using that to oppose Candy Swipe, which came out in 2010 and got its trademark approved in 2011. Now they're trying to get their trademark revoked.
What?
I don't know what the hell Candy Crusher is or if it's something King made, but they picked up the trademark rights to it and are now trying to retroactively go after this other company.
So what you're telling...
And the funny thing, I actually downloaded the free demo for Candy Swipe. It's not that good of a game, but it is... You know how we kind of jokingly say Candy Crush is a Bejeweled clone?
Yeah.
No. Candy Crush is basic Bejeweled gameplay cloned after Candy Swipe. It is insulting. Candy Swipe is not a specific Bejeweled-style match 3, but you draw your finger to make your matches, like some weird crossword, so you can get longer chains going up and down diagonals. But the candies look like Candy Crush. When you get a huge chain, little voice will pop up and say, sweet. Exactly like if you play Candy Crush. It's just aesthetically, Candy Crush seems to have taken its entire identity from Candy Swipe and then wrapped it into Bejeweled.
So, when can we look forward to Candyville?
King and Farmville merger.
Yeah.
The internet ends.
That's the year that Skynet goes live.
yeah, right?
But yeah, all this talk about King and all their lawsuits just seems a little bittersweet to me. I just don't understand how Candy Crush turned into an episode of Law and Order.
Yeah, I don't... Anyway, I'm going to chug along here. Square Enix is launching a new Mana game in Japan later this week and presumably coming to the West some indeterminate time after for smartphones called Rise of Mana.
Okay.
And it does appear to be a free-to-play kind of multiplayer-focused Mana style, Secret of Mana-style action RPG.
Okay.
The only thing that confuses me is that it is being billed as a new entry in the Secret of Mana series. Bonus points if you can tell me why I think that's weird.
I'm not going to get any bonus points today.
It's clearly written in Japanese. Well, I don't know what that font is supposed to say, with the words Rise of Mana written in English, even for the Japanese release.
I kind of want to look this up to see if it's one of those things kind of like Castlevania where the brand took on a different thing, but that's the Seiken Densetsu series in Japan. Like what fans refer to as Secret of Mana 2 when they're talking about fan hacks is Seiken Densetsu 3. Secret of Mana is Seiken Densetsu 2. So I don't know why the Japanese release would be like, it's the next Secret of Mana. Mm. It's kind of like in Japan, it's Akumajo Dracula, and here it's Castlevania. And so you'll see like releases that refer to Demon Castle Dracula. But every now and then you get one that's called Castlevania, even in Japan, just for random marketing reasons.
So, yeah, this one, maybe. Speaking of Secret of Mana, apparently at some point we're supposed to get a Super Nintendo over here to play three-person Secret of Mana.
Really?
Yeah.
You're busting out that multi-tap?
Yeah, I'm not sure when, though.
Alright.
But, yeah, we're supposed to at some point. So, yeah, any more news?
Yeah, actually. Mitch would be happy to know. My last bit of news, which I saved for him, so hopefully he listens to the whole podcast, is next week, The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 2, A House Divided lands.
Nice.
Pretty much across platforms, except possibly iOS. They haven't confirmed if, like, the iPad version is landing at the same time. But, console and PC should be hitting around the same time. I'm not sure about to the day. I remember with Season 1, a lot of times you'd get something like it would come out, like, on Tuesday for PS3 and, like, Wednesday for 360.
Yeah.
Just because of their own personal release windows.
Wait, I'm actually thinking about, getting the season pass for
I'm not gonna do it now. I'm probably gonna just get the pass because I'm actually still in episode 4 of season 1.
Yeah,
I've got episode 4, episode 5, the 400 days, and then I'm like halfway through episode 1 of The Wolf Among Us, and episode 2 is out, right?
Yeah. Oop. Yeah, episode 2 is out, and there's a lot of a lot of hype on Wolf Among Us.
I've enjoyed what I've played of episode 1, so I'm kind of like, I've got basically 1, 2, 3, 4 and a half Telltale episodes of various content to get to. By the time I'm ready for season 2 of The Walking Dead, they should have episode 3 out, and I'll just season pass it.
Yeah.
And only really have to wait for, like, the last 2 episodes.
I'm thinking about season passing it, because right now, with Xbox rewards, if you season pass it, you get 5,000 rewards points.
Okay.
So,
hold on.
Took
what?
The Wii.
Why did you give her the Wii U?
No, she just grabbed it.
Go sit down somewhere and get a hold of yourself.
Okay.
Well, as that was my last bit of news, I'm going to go solve the WiiGate scandal.
All right, you have fun with that. We don't really have any other news, so I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Okay.
All right. You guys have fun. I have some editing to do. All
right. Yeah, right? Have fun with that.
Yeah, see you guys next week.
Try to minimize my child's random outbursts.
You just listened to a Hybrid Works Network podcast. Don't you feel good about yourself now? No? Oh, sorry.